Welcome to FinTech Fun. FinTech Fun is a podcast where Australian fintechs come to share their stories.
Hi, it's Chris Titley here. As part of the FinTech Fun podcast series, I'm joined by Carl. How do you pronounce your last name, Carl, by the way?
Carl Mohan
from crypto.com. You want to tell the listeners out there what your position is, Carl?
Sure, Ken, Chris. It's general manager for the Asia Pacific region.
Awesome. And now, mate, we caught up recently at some FinTech Australia events. I think the last one might have been Intersect, of all places. That was fun, mate.
That's right.
Crypto.com. Now, for those who are unfamiliar with crypto.com, which would be a minuscule amount of people because you guys splash yourselves everywhere, let's talk about crypto.com here in Australia and what you do in your role.
Sure, Ken, Chris. Firstly, thank you very much for having me on your podcast. You're infamous yourself, Chris.
I've been
following you for a very, very long time. Look, in a nutshell, crypto.com is one of the world's fastest and largest cryptocurrency exchanges. We pride ourselves on two basic tenets. The first is regulatory compliance. So we've obtained a number of regulatory licenses globally, which include the licenses in Singapore, South Korea, UK, France, Germany, US, and Canada. And exploring a number of other locations at the moment. The second tenet is information security. Again, we pride ourselves in that. Higher standards in information security from ISO to SOC 2 Type 2 compliance. In Australia, Chris, we've been operating for the last 3 years, actually, flying under the radar. Last year, we made our big launch, especially through the AFL sponsorship. And we're growing rather rapidly in country. Our Visa prepaid card is one of the fastest growing crypto-backed cards, not only globally, but also in Australia. So yeah, I'm very happy where we are at the moment.
And let's talk about a couple of things there. Firstly, the crypto.com product in itself, the growing market for people to trade cryptocurrencies. There's obviously a fair bit of volatility, or has been volatility, in these prices, just like the equity markets, etc. But your customers, who you're aiming for, is it for just anyone that wants to sort of dabble in crypto? Is that who you're aiming for?
Chris, we look at one thing and one thing only. We want to be the one-stop shop for all things crypto to everybody. And to that effect, we offer a number of products and services. The first one is what we call the crypto.com app itself. And that's pretty much your retail investors who, could be early adopters to people who are dabbling, like you indicated. And we make it really easy for them to A, sign up to the app, and B, to start trading, right? So it's very simple, straightforward. It's not cluttered with, whole bunch of candlestick graphs and all of that, but enough information for the investor to make an informed decision.
And the second,
So the second product we have is the crypto.com exchange, which is targeted at sophisticated investors. That has all your bells and whistles, right? So in terms of depth analysis, order book views, and so forth. So the mission that we have is basically, might be sound a little bit cheesy, cryptocurrency in every wallet. And to that effect, we do not, try to distinguish and say, hey, this is the only segment we're gonna look after, but our focus is to deliver products and services to capture every single market segment.
On that point, when I interrupted you there, Carl, I was just thinking about the education process, because of the number of coins out there, the number of benefits and disadvantages and advantages of each coin, and why it's gone up 15% or down 15%, and all that that goes with it. What is crypto.com doing to sort of handhold people through that process of letting go of their hard-earned into something which might be a little bit scary for them?
Yeah. So, one of the major beliefs that we have is, we want to build a long-term ecosystem, right? To that effect, you know, we have done a couple of things. One is we've sort of gamified education within the app itself. So we got a thing called missions where customers could, you know, learn about, you know, particular cryptocurrency, for example, understand it, and then potentially then subsequently invest in that particular currency. The second thing that we're continuously building at the moment, Chris, is what we call the Crypto.com University. And in that, we provide significant in-depth analysis, whether it's on tokens, whether it's on concepts like, you know, with the recent merge, for example, with Ethereum. We published a number of educational pieces to enable our customers and potential investors an understanding of what they're getting into, right? I mean, I'm still not familiar with everything. You know, the latest pieces have been, you know, zero knowledge proof on layer twos. And you go like, what is that? Oh, the yep. other one is soulbound tokens. You know, there's a lot of jargon being thrown around in the industry, and our job is to demystify that.
Yep, yep. And also the blockchains, I think, is something which people are a little bit unsure of about what currencies on what chain and why and how that all works. And, you know, there's a lot to unpack.
As well, you know, so absolutely, absolutely. You know, I think if we can break it down simplistically, Chris, you know, the first journey is, you know, we look at it, and most customers and investors would look at it and go like, what are the two coins that we'd invest in? Is Bitcoin and Ethereum, right? That's your entry point for investment. And generally, because of the market cap of both coins, which is roughly about 70% of total market cap, you'd go, you can't go wrong. And then as you graduate and you understand the distinction between chains and what utility each coin would bring, then, you know, what we find is investors get into the more alternate coins, right? So we've got our own layer one called Kronos, which we have been promoting and working through. And the intent of that is to drive, you know, again, to bring in all our expertise and experience to drive the future of finance, which is DeFi, GameFi, and so forth.
You mentioned the word utility there, and it's a very interesting word when it comes to things like non-fungible tokens and et cetera. But also you mentioned early on in the podcast about the card that you have in people's wallet and the utility that goes with that. Can you explain what that is, and can I then go and get a cup of coffee and pay using, you know, various cryptocurrencies held by Crypto.com?
That's a very good question, Chris. This is something I'm very excited about, right? So we pioneered.
I lost you there for a second.
Crypto-backed yeah.
Sorry, mate, can
Visa
you just,
card.
You right? just...
So the ability to go out and spend your cryptocurrencies. The ability to, are you still with me, Chris?
Yeah, we might just start that question again, if that's okay, because it sort of popped out
sure.
a little bit.
Go
and
for it, mate.
And the feedback came through. It was a bit breaky. But that's okay.
Okay.
So what I'm going to do is I'm going to pretend to do the question again, because I did a really, really good question. I'm not going to do it again. And then you can do that answer. So when I say go, you can go. Okay, ready? And the question
ready.
Is along the lines of cryptocurrency and using cryptocurrency on your wallet. Go.
So, Chris, you know, that's a really good question, and we're really proud of some of the innovations that we've brought into market, right? So that's the way we've looked at it is, you know, the first thing consumers are familiar with is tap and pay, for example, right? Every customer today, at least in Australia, you know, our penetration rate for tap and pay is like 90% at the moment, right? And the Crypto.com Visa card enables our customers to literally tap and pay with their crypto. Now, we've created a little bit of friction in this instance, at least in Australia, where a customer has to, you know, literally convert their cryptocurrency and load their card before they spend it. And the reason being is we want. So you're not literally tapping and paying for coffee and then racking up a taxable item or a tax event for every time you tap and pay. But what we've done is to enable the customer to actually pay with the Visa card, we've provided rewards in crypto as well. So that's one. And the second innovation is we went, because we are still a crypto native company, the first item, like, you know, with the crypto.com Visa card was pretty much to enable adoption and customers to dabble and get an understanding of what crypto is. And, you know, in the last couple of months, we've launched the crypto.com pay, and this is paying directly with crypto. And we launched with, you know, one of the largest fuel chains in South Australia called OTR. We've launched in across close to 200 petrol kiosks that customers now could go in, fill up the bowser, buy a meat pie, and literally pay directly with crypto.
And the idea of that, which is probably the argument against when people say, oh, cryptocurrencies, no, I don't use my groceries to cryptocurrency, I don't pay bills, I don't do this with cryptocurrency, it's all a bit of a fad, etc. I mean, that in its own right, you know, changes the game, I would think, in terms of having the ability to have it accessed at any point in time to then convert. I mean, there's obviously conversion at the back end that you guys try and do, but, you know, to make that easy, make that utility value stronger, I think is probably, you know, an uplift positively for everyone.
Oh, 100%. And, you know, Chris, you know, the amazing thing is prior to being in crypto, I cut my cloth in banking, especially in payments, right? And if you look at the payments evolution, you know, when Afterpay and Zip and all this buy now, pay later came out, I can tell you the conversation in banks were, this will never take off. No one would ever use it, you know. But today, it's a multi-billion dollar industry. I mean, I think I forget the actual number, but didn't Afterpay just sold itself to Block for $50 billion or something, right? And you suddenly realize that what seems like, you know, may not be a very smart idea today would be something really valuable. And we believe that, you know, there's a number of factors why paying with crypto makes sense. Number one is instant settlement. There's no intermediaries involved. Like, you know, we would settle to a merchant instantaneously, so the access to cash flow is immediate. Whereas with card payments or any other payment mechanism today, it's like a day or two later, right? The second is there's no settlement risk. You know, once someone like literally taps and pays, you literally get their money now, right? And there's no refute, you know, you can't refute the transaction. And the third is the speed of the transaction. You know, now you could pay anywhere globally as well, and that cross-border transaction is going to happen instantaneously rather than multiple days.
Fantastic. And just thinking out aloud here, I mean, I'm not going to get you to comment on the big four banks in Australia, but banks broadly speaking in the globe, I mean, it's sort of, when it comes to payment and bank accounts, I think it kind of like this is a new paradigm shift, would you think? Or can banks come and be part of it as well?
I'm seeing the latter, Chris. Banks are getting involved. At least locally, you know, we saw CBA launch their crypto investing, you know, earlier this year. We are definitely looking for regulatory clarity in this case, but globally, at least for the banks in the region that I talk to, right, in the whole Asia Pacific, whether it's Singapore, South Korea, Japan, the Philippines, Indonesia, all these countries, the banks in these countries are looking at ways to actually do two things. Number one is, you know, enable crypto as an investment vehicle for their at least high net worth individuals. The second is, how can they actually enable crypto related payments? And this leads to the whole concept of stable coins and the ability to actually transact with each other using stable coins.
Mm. No, certainly. And also from an asset diversification, I think, you know, from a financial advice point of view, there'll be, you know, there's a lot of interest in the sector, and there needs to be some sort of regulation, I'd imagine, around that in terms of, you know, people's portfolios and super and easy access, etc. So there's lots to play for, Carl, in your sector, mate. We could talk all day about this sector, but, you know, I want to get back onto you, mate. You said your background's in payments. Give us a little bit of Carl's history, mate, and where you know, how you got to this position, where you are now.
It's a bit of a checkered history, Chris. I wished it was a straight path. And when I graduated, I was of the view that I was going to be an accountant. And I started my career in Deloitte. And the first 6 months, I quickly realized I'm not cut out for it. I am not accountant material. I talked too much. I was too salesy for the partners. And very, very quickly realized there was no career in accountancy for me. And I stayed on in Deloitte for at least 6 years, subsequently moving into their consulting division, which actually enabled me to build my skills in IT, IT strategy management. Went into banking, and then for years in banking as a banker working on various projects and so forth, before landing in transactional banking. Again, it was very opportunistic. And the thing that really caught my attention was post-GFC when I was in banking, and I was working in the bank during the GFC, and it really opened my eyes to a couple of things. One is the big banks, walls, you know, for whatever reason, whether it's governance, risk management, well, a little bit slow in adopting new technology. And, you know, if you look, go back to, you know, 2010, 11, 12, the rise of fintech led me to believe that, hey, you know, maybe there's something here. And so within, and this time I was at NAB, and within NAB itself, managed to go into an area where we were actually toying and working with some of the leading fintechs, whether it's Stripe, Braintree, you know, at that time, Adyen, and working with those companies that gave me the insight into how fintechs are run and so forth, was part of the NAB Innovation Lab and NAB Ventures, was part of the investment committee for payments. So it gave me a lot of insight into fintech, and crypto caught my attention back in 2017 and 18. I was a bit slow to the party as a banker, you know, when crypto first came out. I went, nah, this is all rubbish. Nothing's going to happen. Every banker, any banker who says otherwise is lying. And what changed was the launch of Ethereum for me. It made me realize that suddenly there was this movement to create this supercomputer. And just before the ICO boom, I got involved with Ethereum and realized that suddenly, and this time, you know, we saw fintechs implementing cross-border payments, still reliant on old banking rails. And what this did was you could actually implement cross-border payments at a fraction of a cost. And so I got involved, and then over the years managed to get in. So I was consulting to crypto.com first in early last year, and they offered me this gig, and I couldn't say no after what I saw inside the organization, Chris.
Yeah, fantastic, mate. And as you mentioned before, there's a little bit of sponsorship happening with crypto.com. Have you partaken in various sports, mate? Have you got a keen eye on one of the sports that crypto.com is sponsoring?
I have truly enjoyed two things. Number one, I was not a big fan of F1, and now I see the logic and, you know, the engineering marvel that goes in it. But the AFL has been an absolute love affair. I love the sport. I love everything about it. I love the, you know, athleticism that goes with it. So, you know, really proud to be sponsoring the AFL as well, Chris.
No, it was a great season, great finale, and the Geelong Cats came out on top this year. We'll see what happens next year, mate. The F1, did you get into the old Netflix documentary that seemed to have wrapped a few people into the Formula One?
It was really good, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, it's still going, I think, isn't it? It's
interesting thing is since Drive to Survive came out, we've had more women actually get involved in the sport as well, right? Which is always a positive thing.
Yeah, no, for sure, mate. One last question: when you know, a little bit of a hobby or a little bit of a side interest that not many people know about, mate. Have you got a little interest? Are you a avid cyclist or a book reader, or you speak 15 languages? We need something that's a little bit out there.
I do speak four languages.
Oh, there you go.
That's something else. But I love trail running. Absolutely love trail running. I hit out through the trails almost every weekend, and it's my downtime. You know, I worked really long hours, as you can imagine, and then on Saturday morning, just got a couple of mates, and fortunately for me, my teenage sons got involved as well, and so we just go out. Head down to, you know, the ranges, and, you know, we've got some beautiful, you know, national parks in Australia, right? So we've run up mountains. It's just my way of unwinding, looking at, you know, you know, when the sun is rising in the horizon and you see kangaroos all over, it is just a beautiful sight, mate. And we're very lucky. We're very lucky in this country, and that's something I've absolutely enjoyed, and do my first marathon actually end of this year, of all places in Singapore. So I'm going to die, but I'm really looking forward to that.
Well, awesome, mate. Brilliant. And how does do you have a little bit of competitiveness with your son? Do you kind of like share the times or the compare on the Apple watches, etc.?
It started that way because it started 2 years ago. He started running me. He used to play basketball, and basketballers are fast runners, but not long distance runners. But he's got a bit of me in him, and so he's stuck to it. And he's grown. He's way faster. I can't keep up with him. He's running up hills. You know, so when, you know, middle aged guys are running, you know, most of us are middle aged, and he joins us. And when we are running through the ranges, we normally hike the hills, like they're pretty steep, right? We're talking about 45 degree verticals or sometimes more, and he's running up them. And I'm like, okay, you know, now's the time to back off my ego and let go, right?
That's it. No, excellent, mate. Hey, thanks for having a chat today, Carl, on the FinTech Fun podcast. Really appreciate you telling the story of, well, firstly yourself and how you got into the position, but also how Crypto.com is positioning themselves in the market here locally, and what they're doing and the various features that come with it. Obviously a very, very large opportunity and a growing opportunity over many, many years to come, and look forward to catching up.
Oh, absolutely, Chris, and look forward to meeting you in person again soon.
Absolutely.
For more information on Sub11, jump onto our LinkedIn or email me, Chris@sub11.com.au. Thanks for listening.